The Man in the Iron Mask. A warder in the grim dungeons of the Bastille walks heavily along the worn stone passages to the cell where Marguerite Frederick is imprisoned. He hears her talking to herself, but actually she is breathing a prayer that her Edmund will sense that she is in danger. That she is perhaps in this very cell in the Bastille, looking out through a small aperture towards a starry sky and towards one special star, which they declared in happier moments belonged to them. Her thoughts are rudely interrupted when the warder tells her that this is her last night on earth. He gasps as he holds the lantern high and sees the beauty of her young face.
A thousand pities, one so young. Yes, mademoiselle, my daughter was just such a one as you. And then the plague claimed her.
The plague?
Yes, even her voice. There's something of her in your voice. This makes my task very hard. Very hard indeed.
But I don't understand, Warder. Did you say that... that I am to die?
These were my orders from up above. There are soldiers waiting up there. And somebody whose name I dare not mention. What have you done that you're in such a state?
What have I done? Warder, I wish I could tell you. I just don't understand. All my life I've lived on a farm. A quiet, peaceful farm with a hard-working father. We've never harmed anybody. Rather have we been kind. Helped people when they needed help. Done all we could for the poor. And suddenly a troop of horsemen come. They arrest me in the name of the king and I'm put here in this dark hole. What have I done, Warder? Why has all this happened?
Why ask the likes of me? I was a gentleman once, but now I am but a servant of the Bastille. I do my duty. With others, I bring the prisoners down to these cells, and then I take them away. Some just remain until they die. Like the woman that lies in the next cell to yours.
In the next cell?
Yes. She stole a suit of clothes. They put her in here. Theft is regarded in a serious way in this city. While she's been here, she's seen no one. Then, there was a letter. I think it was from her husband. He has found someone else. I noticed I walked along. There was no more sobbing. I raised my lamp. She lies there, very still. I know she is dead.
Oh.
Dead of a broken heart.
Oh, Warder. What tragedy there is in this terrible place. And now me. If only I knew. If only I knew what this is all about.
There. Don't cry, little one. You have a brave face. My daughter was brave, too, when they told us it was a plague. There was no fear. Just a patient resignation. At least I can say I was proud of her.
No, Warder. I'm not afraid. At least I can tell you that. I'm not afraid for myself. But there are others. My Edmund.
Edmund?
Edmund Marchiavi. The man I love more than life itself. I'm afraid for him in his grief. Afraid for my darling father. Who now is getting... the little helpless, who needs me around the house. And they don't know where I am or what I've done. Perhaps they might even think that I've deserted them. Oh, Warder, when they take me for whatever it is that I've done, could you send them a message, perhaps? A message from one who loved them both dearly.
It would be more than my life is worth, dear little lady. I wish I could help you because of this amazing likeness. You could be my own daughter. But come, they're waiting up there. We must go at once.
Yes, Warder.
You're not afraid?
No. I feel that whatever comes, when I pass from this world, Edmund will know. Wherever he is, whatever he's doing at this moment, he'll know, deep down in his heart. That is how we love each other.
The fairy story again. More talk, little lady, and I believe that you are a fairy. As I see you now, perhaps you're too good for this world after all. And yet, you're here for something.
I wish I could tell you what that something is.
Step out into the passage, and I'll lock the door behind me. And now, if you'll follow me, it's a long trek, 2 flights of steps, and then a passage twice as long as this. A moment. I want to make sure about this woman in the next cell. Yes, look. As I lift the lantern and look through the grill, you can see the white face. She must have died saying her prayer.
Will there be a judge, Warder? Will there be some human being to appeal to? To ask why I'm here, what crime I've committed?
A moment. I have an idea. Little lady, some would say that I'm crazy. But somehow, it's your face. It's taken me back to better times. To the time when I was happy. When I had a home, a wife, a young stalwart son, and a daughter such as you. Perhaps that's why you've tugged at this leathery old heart of mine. Little lady, can I trust you?
In what way, Warder?
Dare I? It all depends on you. If you should so much as speak, you will lose 2 heads. Yours and mine.
If you would explain...
It would only take a minute. You to take the place of this poor woman, and this woman to take your place in your cell.
You mean...
I mean, mademoiselle, that it would be so simple a matter for us to go upstairs, to stand before this great personage who waits, and to tell him it is you who've died of a broken heart, that I found you white and still in your cell with life extinct.
Why, Warder?
Could I trust you? Would you speak of this to any living soul?
Oh, no, Warder, I swear it. I promise. Oh, there is a God in heaven. Edmund must be thinking of me. He has prayed, too. Oh, Warder. One day, perhaps, I may be in a position to help you for all that you are doing.
You may not thank me for this. As I say, the living death. But if one believes in miracles, sometimes those miracles come true. Your face, to me, is a miracle. So much like that of dear Rene. You'll never tell that it was old Edward.
Never. I swear it. I promise.
We must be quick. I've been here too long already. Quickly, quickly, you have to help me. This poor woman now takes your place.
Meanwhile, Frasquita Carlos had begun her headlong flight from the court of Spain. Armed with letters from the gentle Maria Theresa and money in her purse, also from her benefactor, she managed to make good her escape and eventually found herself in France, and along the road to Gascogne and the castle of Georges Saint-Marc. And what of Georges Saint-Marc and his ward Edmund? Poor Edmund spent only one more day in Paris, an unhappy, futile day when he interviewed several who had promised him their help. But how was Edmund to know that all these men were guided by the powerful cardinal himself? And so with Saint-Marc, he began the weary journey back to Gascogne and the Saint-Marc estates. How would he face poor Marguerite's father? How would he face himself and a future life without his beloved Marguerite? These thoughts were continually tormenting him all through the whole of that long journey. And when he arrived at last at the castle, he flung himself down on his bed in a state of sleepless exhaustion. For still sleep would not come to one now tortured in mind and body. Several mornings later, a young lady presented herself at the castle Saint-Marc. With her, she brought certain letters which she now presented to a lackey, asking that they be taken to the lord and master of the castle. The lackey, perhaps a little intrigued with her unusual accent, hesitated a little.
Am I not speaking clearly? I want you to take these letters to Seigneur Georges Chemnard, who at one time was a visitor to Spain.
Yes, mademoiselle. But the monsieur does not expect a lady visitor.
I know. But when he reads those letters, he will understand. I come from Spain. I am Spanish, you see.
Oh.
All these letters are from a friend.
In that case, if you will step in here, mademoiselle, and wait.
Thank you. Oh, a huge fire. If I may sit by the fireplace. It's been a cold, long journey for me.
But certainly, mademoiselle.
Why? Above the fireplace. The portrait. I know that, of course.
Then you have met the master's ward?
The master's ward? What are you talking about?
Oh, but mademoiselle, that, of course, is the master's ward, Monsieur Edmund Marchiali.
Edmund Marchiali? But how ridiculous. That is...
Yes, mademoiselle?
Oh, yes. Of course, it must be his ward, you say?
That is right, mademoiselle. And now, if you will permit me to withdraw, I will take these letters to Mr. Salmar.
Edmund Marchiali. But how absurd. Yes, of course, it's a portrait of King Louis XIV of France. A replica of the portrait which was sent to Maria Theresa.
What extraordinary discovery has Frasquita Carlos stumbled upon? Why is it that these two portraits are so much alike? Make sure you hear the next enthralling chapter of The Man in the Iron Mask.